Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm coming out hot, Brandon. I've got some energy tonight. So how are you?
Yeah, well, I'm sensing it. I'm good now, just vibing off of you. This is what people tune in for.
It's me
playing off you and vice versa.
Sure.
I'm also vibing off midweek fixtures because, I mean, midweek fixtures are always just sort of out of nowhere, out of left field.
Right.
People love my work stories, my life in the office as it relates to FPL. Mm-hmm. I don't have a funny punchline today, but I was just on a phone call right at 3 o'clock when like the late kickoff happens. I guess it's the 8 p.m. kickoff in England.
Sure.
And I got that whole sort of Christmas Eve anxiety tension in my tummy. And I was like, I really wonder what's happening with Spurs Man United. Little did I know at that time that Christian Eriksen was scoring a cheeky 11-second goal as I was having a phone call.
I wonder what kind of game that would have turned into if he hadn't scored in the first, 9 seconds of the game. Like, do you think that Man United possibly wins that game? I mean, it just feels like it's like they couldn't shake it off, you know?
Well, okay, we didn't put this in the running order talking about VAR, but the one thought I had about VAR is always this discussion about, do you think the game would have been different if this team, X team, won a penalty or didn't score a goal?
Yeah.
That Liverpool-West Brom game, I think, dispelled all of those notions.
Right.
Nope. Liverpool still lost.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Exactly. You and I don't want to be like the old guys who complain about VAR, but like, if you are in favor of VAR, just watch American football, like, one Sunday. Just, if you're in the UK or Norway or whatever, just watch, like, two American football games back-to-back. They take about,
if you have 24 straight hours to kill, watch two football
games.
Each
game takes about 4 hours. Every single thing that can be challenged is challenged. It takes forever. It is soul-sucking. And one of the reasons I left behind the NFL and got into the Premier League was because I loved the pace of it. And so the idea that everything would be stopped to decide whether or not there was a handball in the box or whatever, and it takes 8 minutes, and it sounds horrible. I don't want it. Not a fan.
There is a quote that both you and I love from the Unforgiven, the Clint Eastwood movie, where he says, Gene Hackman's character says,
"Little Bill,
why are you gonna kill me like this? I don't deserve this."
Right.
And Clint Eastwood says, "Deserve ain't got nothing to do with it," and that is how I feel about VAR. Like, leave justice at the sideline.
All right, our old man rant out of the way. Let's talk some fantasy. How was your game week 25, Brandon? Was it a good game week 25?
Yeah, I think it was a good game week 25, all things considered.
Of course it was.
My defense was a complete car crash, so we can just
true.
Get that
That's
out of the
true.
Way.
Yeah.
I'm part of the Christensen curse that sort of reached its denouement today against Bournemouth, where he goes off at the 28th minute with the hammy. So this man is priority number one out of my team. But yeah, De Gea, Alonso, me, that didn't result in a lot of points. But the transfer this week was as planned, DCL to Jordan Ayew. Granted, that goal from Peter Cech was like gift wrapped for Jordan. But
yeah, you and I had a serious debate on GChat today about how many keepers are better than Peter Cech in the Premier League. I think we ultimately decided it was somewhere between 15 and 16. It depended on whether you rate Matt Ryan highly enough to put him above Cech. I put Cech above Ryan, but I can understand if you would put Ryan in front.
Those short sleeve shirts that Matty Ryan wears, I love them. But yeah, Peter Cech was hailed as a great signing when he was brought into Arsenal, but And I would stand by that for one season, maybe two seasons,
sure.
But it's gone on long enough.
Arsenal ultimately had a good window, but yeah, they should have probably brought in a keeper as well, because Cech, he can't really even kick the ball anymore. And that seems like that's going to be a problem.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jordan Ayew, I feel good about that. He's like the hardest working man on the pitch right now. I think he's fully behind and keeping Swansea up.
And his brother is about to join him, which I'm genuinely excited about that.
Absolutely. It's going to be an IU Voltron forming. So Tuesday was phenomenal for me. I had three players playing and I scored three goals: Salah, IU, and Firmino. And what everyone wants to know is, did Brandon captain KDB or not? So let's talk about that. I generally feel like I'm a gut player, but this is an example in which data got in the way. And, you know, I think you can tell this story many ways in that, yeah, ultimately it worked out fine. Salah got his goal. Thank you, James Milner. But I was just looking at all the stats, like the XG stats, all the goals imminent, and just engagement in the box. Salah wins handily, like every time against KDB.
Sure,
and
sure.
I was also just assuming that I had Sterling and De Bruyne coverage for Aguero, so to speak. So ultimately, I said, level heads, put the armband on Salah. I did so, and I really regret saying it on this podcast because everyone knows I write hard for KDB, and if anyone should have been armbanding him, it should have been me.
Still haven't done it, right? Have you captained him once this season?
I haven't, yeah. I still haven't, so I feel like the season truly won't be... it's like I have to get down on one knee and propose the armband to KDB one of these game weeks to really seal the deal.
Yeah, I think you ultimately have to be pretty happy with your game week.
And I punched through to the top 100K finally.
I saw that.
And, yeah, 92K. So there's still a long way to go to make it a really respectable season.
Right.
And as many managers out there know, breaking through to the top 100K does not at all mean that you're going to stay there. So I had to stay vigilant.
Is that an underhanded reference to my Yeah, I slipped. So I actually wildcarded this week. I had I got about as bad as you can come out of a wild card. No, it's not that bad, but it was.
Well, so let's take it back a few more steps. Yep. So this is an early wild card. I mean, everyone who follows Always Cheating knows you've kind of been thinking about what's next for your team.
Yes, had some run of bad luck and bad fortune and bad decisions too, perhaps.
And then it was the Masuaku spitting event that basically put you one too many players out.
It put me in a position where I was going to have to burn points, including burning points on defenders. And, yeah, I mean, if I'd known that Daniels was going to keep a clean sheet away to Chelsea, maybe decision-making would have been a little bit different. But, you know, the thing about burning points is I think it's fine to do because you can often – to use a business term, you know, you can amortize that cost, right? So, you know, maybe you don't, you know, get back the points you would have dropped in that first week when you drop 4 points. But over the course of 2 or 3, 4 game weeks, you know, if you're bringing in a quality player with good fixtures, that point is going to pay for itself. But if I was going to wildcard within the next week or two anyway, I just didn't see, you know, a situation where a -8 made any sense, you know, and so I felt like I might as well you know, pull the trigger early. And,
right.
You know, it didn't really make a big difference. I mean, it wasn't like there were, you know, a set of fixtures that I was, you know, cutting. The only thing that I regret a little bit is I probably would have brought in Callum Wilson, if I had wildcarded going into game week 26 instead of 25. You know, that was just maybe a little short-sighted on my part. So I went back and forth actually between IU and Ashley Barnes, and I ultimately went Barnes over IU. Barnes has 1% ownership. You know, really like Burnley's fixtures coming up. I mean, obviously they play Man City in game week 26, but after that, it's you know, it's a really, really solid run almost, you know, through the end of the season.
I would also like to nominate Ashley Barnes as Premier League player who looks most likely to help you move one day.
So the Barnes move didn't work out. The Mkhitaryan move, I've also brought a Mkhitaryan, which I guess was short. So I honestly thought Wenger would plug him in right away. I mean, he has a long history of taking these players in off transfers and plugging them right in. I mean, when, you know, Mesut Ozil joined the squad, he was plugged in right away. I guess Mkhitaryan was a little cold, you know, from the Man U bench, but I really did think he would slot in right away. And, you know, I got 1 point from him, and now I really have to make a hard decision about whether I want to, you know, keep him for this home fixture to Everton or just move him on already. But other moves worked out better. I brought in James Ward-Prowse, who, you know, was a hot player at the beginning of the season, but has dropped considerably. He's down to 0.9% ownership, and he's only 5 million.
A sensational game against Brighton.
Yeah, and so I picked up an assist and 3 bonus points from... from him. So if you're looking at wild card and you're looking for a fourth midfielder, I think that Prowse is an interesting option, despite how awful Southampton have been.
Not to make of this an NFL-centric podcast, but there was a John Elway quality about James Ward-Prowse in that Brighton game.
Yeah, truly. He was the quarterback. I did bring in Marcus Alonso, which felt great going into this fixture. And then I guess I've ruined Alonso for everybody. So
thanks a lot, buddy. Yeah, we were G-chatting before kickoff, and you're like, feeling great, finally having Alonso. And I was like, thanks. Looking forward to five straight two-pointers from him now.
Yeah. So, I really didn't ultimately. And I brought in Aguero, too, who I captained this week. And I have to say.
Oh, no big deal.
I have to say I'm extremely disappointed with Aguero's one goal. I mean, thank God I got. The way I got the goal, I felt relieved. But, for him at home against kind of a shaky West Brom is actually, their defense has been okay of late, but there are a lot of injured players, a lot of questionable players. And then they lost their defensive midfielder. I mean, it was just, really.
When you can
more.
Compare Aguero's return to a Lukaku return, isn't that the ultimate insult?
Right.
One goal in the 90th minute thereabouts and no bonus points.
Right.
And that's really the one that sticks in your craw, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you got the goal. You really needed it because you capped him, and so many people did. But no bonus is just a knife in the back.
Yeah, so I ultimately capped, I guess I kept four players total. I kept De Gea. I always knew the Spurs game was going to be a tough fixture for him. I kept Sterling, just
when you've got strikers like Phil Jones shooting at you.
Right, exactly. What can you do?
Unsavable goals.
Exactly. I kept Kane and I kept Mo Salah. So all those players came through. Kane, two of the four players came through. So I swapped out 11 players. The only other players I'll note here, none of them. My bench is kind of like full of some interesting options, all of whom I actually might play in the next game week.
There is a Mos Eisley Cantina, ubiquitous Star Wars reference, quality to your bench.
Yeah, so I've got Mila Vojovic, who is who I think everyone is kind of excited about as just a he's on pens, and a lot of the offense has been running through him. They've got a tough – to me, he's very much a fifth – he's very much a fifth midfielder. I'm only going to play him when the fixtures are good. They've got a tough run coming up from game week 28 to 31, but they finished the season on a really bright note. There's actually like almost no way that Palace is going to go down because their final seven fixtures are so good. I have Cuco Martina, who you and I have disparaged often on the podcast, but I did it because I read an article with Sam Allardyce where he said that that Martina, as far as he was concerned, he was going to roll with Martina indefinitely. And he said, he's maybe he doesn't offer a lot from an attacking point of view, but he's very he's stable in the defense. And I don't know if I actually believe that, but what I do believe is that he's pretty much locked into that squad until Leighton Baines comes back.
Do you remember that worldly of a goal that Cuco Martina scored for Southampton when he randomly came on? I think this was maybe
2 years ago,
two seasons ago.
Yeah, a little vaguely. Yeah, and I thought he was kind of poor last year for Southampton.
It was a poor man's banana goal, but it was great nonetheless.
But he started every game since game week 14. Like Everton's fixtures coming up, and I really like his price. It's 4.4 million. I was really looking for low ownership differential players, right? And so Ashley Barnes, Cuco Martina, James Ward-Prowse, these are all players ownership less than 3%. And then Ben Chilwell too, who's seemingly locked into that Leicester defense. He's available for 4.3 million, and Leicester have a nice run fixtures throughout the rest of the season.
It's
as
a
well.
good assist threat from Chilwell as well. He's got a decent leg out on the left to get crosses in.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, there's a little bit of attacking threat there too. So anyway, I don't want to go on too long, but those are just I went a little long on the bench because if anyone's thinking about wildcarding, and those are some players that I would look at. As I think they're good long-term options. And I tried to put a little bit of thought into it the last couple of days. So, I ended up at 49 points, which is pretty disappointing, two above average. But I like the way my team looks long-term, and so I'm not going to worry about it too much. And at least as we talked about last week's podcast, I mean, at least I feel like I've got some players that other people don't own now. I have some different players, and And that makes the game a little more fun, especially if you're having a bad season.
And if anyone is moving in the coming weeks, just get in touch with Josh, and he'll send a message to Ashley Barnes.
Yeah, he's actually
got
a,
get in his truck. And
he's got a pager, so we'll just page him.
Paging Ashley Barnes.
He wears it during games, too. All right, well, how about the Super League, Brandon? What do you think about the Super League?
I think the Super League is the greatest league in all the world as far as FPL goes. You can join the Super League, of course. Go to alwayscheating.com, click the League tab. Never too late to join. We've got a little bit of movement this week in the Super League, just running through the top 10, starting at number 10. Nick Tudhope is dropping down there. Football Friend FC with 50 points on the week in ninth place. Heating up, Aaron Matheson. Eighth place, it's Off Wendershin Pet. That's Jay Logowood's squad. Seventh place, moving up, Two Girls, One Schlup, Andrew Ferguson. Scored 60 points on the week. Sixth place, also moving up, Jordan Pierce, Mount Eden Munters. Dropping down in the rankings, Fabio Borges, our good friend and Argentinian experimental novelist. Clichy's Clean Sheets. Moving up, fourth place, Cruise Control, Stevie Sunshine. This is really great pattern, isn't it?
You'll get through it. You're almost done.
Suddenly, I'm like Brent Musburger doing the Always Cheating Super League.
I'm thinking I'll meet for breakfast tomorrow.
Third place for Fuchs Ake.
I put my phone away.
It's all great content here in the Super League. Third place, Fufuks Ake, IU Blends, Joe Stones, staying strong there in third place. Second place, Gamchust United, Graham McDonald, hailing from the beautiful Edinburgh, Scotland. And in first place, Crazy Coutinho. Prakhar Patel scored a big 64, whopping 1,620 points on the season.
I believe he's 30 in the world, too. So well done to you, Prakhar Patel. Yeah. And Graham McDonald, who's an active commenter on our Slack channel, too. I'm certainly rooting for him as well. So, but good luck to everybody. Best of luck to me this weekend. I'm hoping to,
good
to
luck,
start, start my climb back up.
I have a feeling you're going to need it.
Yeah, geez. Rants, it's okay. You know, I've banked quality seasons. I can handle a bad season. I'm feeling like a passenger right now a little bit on this season. I'm sort of watching it now with interest from afar, you know. I don't feel quite as...
You're sort of like the Forrest... You're the Forrest Gump of the 2017-18 season. Exactly. Great things will happen around you, and you'll witness them, and that's good enough.
Something happened over the winter break where I like emotionally disconnected from the season, where I was just like... I couldn't get angry. I had reached peak anger, and I was like, I don't have it in me anymore to get this angry over fantasy, you know. And so,
it's good to have perspective.
It's good to have perspective.
Speaking of,
we have some rants this week. First one comes from Little Jason. Said, just seeing the starting 11s for tonight. Kenny benched, Yanma benched, Mahrez, AWOL, Stones sick.
Wonderful, very, very friendly get well soon tweet from Manchester City to John Stones. I like that.
Yeah, and four non-starters. I like that too. And it says four non-starters, and I have Sermon on my bench, who of course is benched. Hashtag rant over. That's tough. That's tough.
That is tough. When you have so many bubble players, I mean, I was really surprised to see Seamus Coleman just pop right up, not make like a bench appearance sort of ceremoniously, just right back into the starting 11. I mean, like, slow clap for him, like, to come back from an injury like that is incredible, and he's a great asset to Everton. But yeah, John Joe Kenny is officially dead and buried on that one.
Next rant is from Eric Freeman, who says, going full Maverick kind of sucks. Which he sent after the fixtures were over. I didn't really, in the end, I'm just a little too conservative to have gone full Maverick, you know. I mean, the thought of getting rid of Salah, Sterling, Kane, I just couldn't do it. And if I had, I would have, you know, I guess that's 20 points right there that I would have lost. So but I do, you know, and thank you again to Mike DiPietro for being on the last week's podcast, but
we love you, Mike.
Yeah, I think I mispronounced his last name.
DiPietro. Sorry, we're not
whatever
Italian.
It is. Thanks for being on. But I think we really weighed, you know, how far down that full Maverick road you want to go. And we kind of, I don't think we advocated for the full Maverick. It's like the full Monty. You know, that's a special thing that you have to hold. till the end of the season or something. You know, uh-huh. Maybe full Maverick in game week 38. Like, more power to you. Full Maverick in game week 26. That's
love a Theo Walcott captaincy in game week 38.
Sure,
he's been known to hat trick.
Oh, I am the best. I have a like wizard like ability to pick the perfect captain for game week 38. So I've done it. My best ever season, which was like 3 years ago. I remember I picked Olivier Giroux. I think. Mm-hmm. When he had a hat trick in the final game of the season. So Rachel says, is there such a thing as a rage wild card? How do I stop myself from doing that right now?
I hope it's not too late, Rachel, but
you really want full week, don't you? If you're going to rage wild
you
card.
Do. You want to do it right away. That's for sure. But I think what I want to say is wild card is a little bit like, you don't want to just give it away willy-nilly. You hold it and cherish it, right, and give it away to the right game week that you think is most deserving.
Yeah, I mean, even my wild card, which came early, came after many weeks of me discussing a wild card on the podcast. It wasn't super reckless. I mean, everyone knew it was coming soon, you know?
Yeah, no, it was like reading the obituary, and you're like, I'm not that surprised, actually.
You say that like I've been wrong. You when you read the newspaper and every obituary you read, you say this. So, all right, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk. We're going to look at this weekend's fixtures. We're also going to talk as we talk about the fixture. We're going to talk a little bit about the January signings and the transfer window as well. So let's see if we can do it. We kind of we've got a lot to talk about here, Brandon. So let's get to it.
Same old podcast.
All right, Brandon, we're recording this on Wednesday night. The podcast, you probably listen to it on Thursday, and 2 days from now we have the next fixture. It comes very quickly, so let's get right into the fixtures. We've got, what you might call a standard weekend slate. We've got, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 fixtures on Saturday. We've got 2 on Sunday, including one that I'm really excited about. And then we've got a Monday fixture as well. So
just so you know, there's a game on Monday. It may or may not involve Watford.
and Chelsea. They're probably going to concede 4 goals or something. All right, early match on Saturday is Burnley-Man City. Let's talk briefly about who Burnley and Man City have added in January. Burnley have added Aaron Lennon, who's 5.4% or 5.4 million, 0.1% owned.
Yeah, I think a lot of these new transfers that we're going to talk about are round about like 0.10%. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people have considered these guys until these moves. Some of them may not be worth considering still, but...
Yeah, and they also signed Nkudu, who I know he came from Spurs. I don't know anything about him, really.
Yeah, he made a few bench appearances for Spurs early in the season. He's sort of the mold of, and Spurs fans will laugh at me when I start talking about this. He's sort of that Harry Winks midfield dynamo sort of a role.
Yep.
And you have to like the business that Burnley is doing. I feel like they're really trying to consolidate when they have the type of leverage they have with the table position. Mm-hmm. They're trying to grow. And I think bringing an experience like Aaron Lennon, he's like clearly like well on the downward trajectory of his career, but then also a young guy like Nkudu.
Well on the downward trajectory.
Yeah, well done. No, I love Aaron Lennon and the crazy things he does, like the stripes in his eyebrows and whatnot.
Yeah, I think Goodmanson is the player I would still prefer. It seems like there's like a little Goodmanson bandwagon forming. I think we were there first though, Brandon. We talked about him a few weeks ago.
Oh, absolutely.
He's 5 million, and I know that he's very, you know, he's playing in the World Cup this summer, and he's really trying to be really actively involved in the attacking front for Burnley. Although I don't really think he impressed in the Newcastle match today. But he's also 0.4 cheaper, and I think I would prefer him over Lennon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I would guess, and this is a caveat with all these new transfers, is a lot of these we have to wait and see how the managers choose to roll them out. And are they starters? Are they just adding depth? And I think you're right about that. I think the elephant in the room with Burnley, and if we're talking about Burnley versus Man City, the prolific scorer of goals, is where do we currently stand with Burnley clean sheets? You brought in Taylor on your wild card, right?
And Bardsley.
Bardsley, and I'm on Ben Mee as well. And I think a lot of people are struggling to think about, well, if I have a 4.5 million defender opening, is there anyone better than a Burnley defender? Yes or no? Broadly speaking.
Yeah. No, because of their fixtures, because of their upcoming fixtures, I would say no.
Yeah. So you kind of have to grit your teeth through the upcoming Man City fixture, and then there's some daylight.
Right.
And even though Burnley have not been as solid as they were at the start of the season, I think they'll get through.
Yeah, I think so, too. And then Man City, the only player they brought in, they did not bring in Mahrez as you know, we were all sort of waiting with bated breath to see, and I guess he was too depressed to play today. Apparently, they brought in Laporte. I don't blame him. By the way, I saw some people being very snarky on Twitter about how it's like all about the money. Of course, it is. I mean, these players don't get treated well by their clubs. You know, if you've got a chance to move on, then you just for tons of money. Like it's all of us would do it in our jobs.
Well, yeah, we can talk about the money, which I wholeheartedly agree. And it's your career. And if you're a professional athlete, that window is small. So you must make hay. Yeah. Additionally, is it not also about life experience? So,
you can explain this like you explain study abroad, right? It's
like, I mean, I understand, like, if you follow a club, that's a legacy. That's your life. Mm-hmm. Your great grandparents, etc. held the same seats at King Power before it was called King Power. Riyad Mahrez, for the legendary status that he now has for winning the league at Leicester, it's not like he's suddenly going to be the John Terry of Leicester. Maybe he wants to go do something different while right. he has however many years left in his career.
He stuck around for a year and a half, you know, with the club, and he played wonderfully this year, right? I mean, the reason that they're not in any kind of relegation danger right now is because of how well he played. So so Mahrez did not go to City. But he kind of depresses the value, I think, of a lot of those Leicester players now. I just don't know how he's going to play, in light of this. Maybe he'll shrug it off. I mean, I hope he does.
That's Leicester. Let's talk about Laporte. Man City being perhaps the more compelling FPL team here.
Perhaps.
Laporte, perhaps, open for discussion. Laporte slots immediately into the Man City lineup. John Stones, as we mentioned, get well soon. Here's a card.
He's e-card. I bet they emailed him an e-card, too. Yeah,
they sent him a paperless post. Like, exactly. Oh, if you feel well, John Stones.
E-signed by all his teammates.
Yeah, signed, immediately slots in, plays 90, gets a clean sheet. 5.5, yeah. That is a Christensen-level price tag. And, you know, that could be a pretty straightforward move for a lot of us Christensen owners.
Yeah, that's true. The price is great. I think it's too early to know if he is a stone cold regular starter. I mean, they still have Vincent Kompany too, who played in the
John Stone Cold.
Kompany played in the FA Cup match. Apparently, he was okay. I mean, obviously, they weren't going to play him twice in 3 days or whatever. But now there's like four center backs in that team. You know, I would not want. Maybe Otamendi is safe, but I would not want to risk any center back on that squad who wasn't Otamendi. And then, frankly, I think even Otamendi is now a bit of a risky center back option.
Well, we got Mangala out of the mix. Mangala was a last minute loan to Everton.
Right. But just one. Yeah, but just Otamendi, Kompany, Stones, and Laporte alone is enough to make things a little complicated. I mean, Laporte,
it's true. Yeah. I wish I could see into the future and know if Laporte was nailed on. And so how much can we read into Laporte just slotting immediately in? Pep, knowing Pep like we do, he's got a very elaborate system, which apparently took him an entire season to teach this system to Manchester City.
Well, it sounds like it was a case of necessity, right? I mean, you know, like if Stones was sick, I mean, if you take that at face value, then
if you're buying into the John Stones conspiracy theory.
He was in a hospital, man. I saw him like eating a lollipop. It's not good.
Yeah, no, I take your point. I think it's probably best to urge caution. But if if it looks like he's nailed on and Pep wants to run with Otamendi, Laporte, and
sure, if wishes and if, what is the expression? If its and buts were a bowl full of nuts, then we'd all have a bowl of granola or something like that.
I like it.
Yeah, that's how I feel about that. As for the match itself, I think Man City defeats Burnley pretty easily. Probably like 3-0, maybe 3-1, maybe.
Okay,
Burnley make a goal.
Let's weave a little captaincy chat in here.
Sure.
Man City playing away at Turf Moor. Do we think the armband is fit for Sterling, KDB, Aguero?
Yeah, I see better options. I mean, you could probably captain Aguero just every game week, regardless of fixture, and that would be fine, especially with Jesus still injured. Long term, I don't know why I said long term. You're talking about this fixture. I don't think I'll be captaining Aguero myself. I'm not going to bench him, if that's what you're asking.
I love a KDB.
If that's what you're driving at.
that's what I was getting. I love a 77th minute KDB sub, which basically is Pep giving me a wink like, yeah, we're good. We're bus team locked and loaded.
Yeah. All right. So Man City, probably a routine win, even away to Burnley. And we probably won't be captaining any of the Man City players. The 10 a.m. matches, or 10 a.m. in the U.S. anyway. We'll start with Bournemouth Stoke. Bournemouth, nothing to see here.
Yeah, well, in terms of transfer business, there's nothing to see here. But Bournemouth did make quite a statement as the window was closing against Chelsea. Callum Wilson, he's just been a very divisive player for me, FPL wise, in that he is capable of great hauls, and you know we've seen him score his hat tricks and the like, and then he immediately gets injured. I'm very wary of him.
I think, I feel like you're a little overly down on Callum Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, for a player who scored, four goals in his last six fixtures.
Let me ask you this, Josh. Let's put assists. This is a bigger FPL question. Do you find that you're more down on players that you have never owned? So I've never had Wilson in an FPL side of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why I have a chip on my shoulder against Wilson? Like, had I ever owned Wilson during a good game week, that I might be a little more open to him?
Yeah, I think there is some truth there. I mean, I worry about players who are injury prone too. But he has started the last six in a row. I guess there's a little bit of a concern that he would not play on Wednesday and then a couple days later on Saturday, but. I think he's probably safe. I don't know. I mean, for me, I've got 0.8 in the bank right now. I can actually just move Barnes to Callum Wilson right now.
Yeah.
It's tempting.
And also, you were talking of Jordan Ibe a couple weeks ago. That assist that he had for the first Callum Wilson goal was really sublime. Just the pace and placement that he had on that pass. So Jordan Ibe continues to be in my thoughts.
Totally, yeah, and prayers. He's a really, really talented. I mean, he's a talented player. He came through the Liverpool youth system. Didn't really get anything going last year. He was actually a player that a lot of us had in our squad at the beginning of last season.
Yeah.
But now, one goal and two assists in his last four. And it seems like he's locked in a bit of a regular starter job. So
it's funny. Bournemouth fringe players have blown up my game week one squads two seasons in a row. It was Jordan Ibe last season, and it was Ryan Fraser this season. So thanks for nothing, cherries.
Yeah. It's like you can't. Yeah. Maybe that's why you're a little biased against Wilson. Stoke City. The only player I'll note here is Moritz Bauer, who joined from Rubin Kazan. 4.5 million, and they have kept back-to-back clean sheets. I have to admit, I am not on the, I'm all in on Stoke bandwagon. It's taken me a little longer to get over the fact that their defense was so terrible for so long.
Yeah.
I'm still not convinced on their attackers, and obviously they were kept.
Like Shaqiri and Chupo are the main players here now.
Exactly. So, but Bauer's 4.5 million. I mean, nobody owns him. He's 0.3% ownership. So, so maybe he's an option. Although, as you note here, Brandon, he's got two yellow cards in his first three matches.
Yeah, three matches for Stoke, two yellow cards. So, clean sheets result in 5 points. I don't know, Bauer, try harder if you want to get into my FPL squad.
Let me ask you this. If you join a team in January, did the yellow card rules for, like, the season, like, do you still have to get 10 to get a suspension, or is it just 5, like, once you start playing?
Don't put me on the spot like that, Josh. If you just Google Premier League yellow card accumulation, it'll take you to a very informative website that will tell you who's on the tightrope and who isn't, and right. all of the rules. So don't come to Always Cheating for that, for all that kind of boring business.
That's fair. Well, other people do that stuff better. If you want boring, there's lots of other places to go.
I just want to shoehorn in a hot take here on Stoke City attacking players.
Yep.
It seems like Shaqiri is heavily, heavily favored in the FPL community over Choupo-Moting. I really want to vouch for the value, the cost savings, and I believe that, okay, assuming Stoke City scores another goal the rest of the season,
right.
Jury's still out on that one. I do think that Shaqiri and Choupo will probably end up on the same level of points through the rest of the season, so why not save yourself a little bit of money?
Or just not get either one. That would also be an option.
If you have to.
Yeah. One assist in the last six and no goals for Choupo-Moting. So, those guys, just stay away from the midfield. Even Joe Allen, who I know people, as you mentioned, are kind of getting excited about. I just don't see it. As for the game itself, what do you think? Bournemouth win 2-1, something like that?
Oh, this is a tough one. I might actually pick this as a draw because I think that's a pretty big high to come off of a demolition of Chelsea at Stamford Bridge and then the play just a few days later. And Stoke City, I mean, as we've been talking about, there is, despite us down-talking it, potential at Stoke City. I think it's a 1-1, 2-2 draw.
Okay. Brighton, West Ham. Any transfers to talk about with these teams, Brandon?
Yeah, the big guy at West Ham is João Mário. I think he'll be affectionately referred to as Mario throughout the land. Comes from Inter Milan. He's a midfielder priced at 6.5 million. And they did roll him out for 90 minutes against Palace this game week. I think there are high hopes. And given that Lanzini and Arnie are out for the near future, they're going to be looking to Mario to deliver. I really have nothing to say about him at this point, other than one to watch.
Yeah, exactly. He's one to watch. It's nice to see West Ham bring in a younger player, an under 30 player. You know, he's like 25.
I mean, and also I totally agree. And just to throw the extension onto one to watch, because what else is going here at West Ham? They're playing Zabaleta in the midfield. They have no real striker outside of Chicharito, who's been having a questionable season. If Mario does come good, there's still not a lot around him to work with at the moment.
Yeah, and I still feel like, I mean, at 6.5, it seems a bit high for him. I'm surprised his price is that high. I mean, this is, he's talented, but, he has 3 goals and 44 appearances for Inter, one goal and 31 appearances with the Portuguese national team. I'm not sure if I see him as a great FPL asset, but maybe he just needed a space where he had some room to be a little more attacking.
I really enjoyed our visualization over GChat during the West Ham game this game week of Mark Noble existing on the pitch only to take penalties.
Right.
So they've got like a little like child's plastic folding chair right at the midfield line.
Right. And he doesn't do anything.
He just sits there with his legs crossed, drinking a cup of tea. Oh, we've won a penalty.
And then Brighton, Jurgen Locadio. I have to admit, I've never heard of Locadio until now. He is $6 million starting price, 0% owned. My goodness.
Brian. Get in first. Be the first to get in a Locadio today.
He's already out with a hamstring injury. Scored 9 goals and assisted 6 for PSV. But, you can never take Dutch League point, tally seriously.
Josie Altidore is public enemy number one when it comes to Dutch league stats.
We love the Dutch, Brandon. I mean, you and I have spent many a huge summer in Amsterdam over the years.
Yeah, one of the first countries we liberated during the war. So we're all about it. But this is all just bad news for for Glenn Murray owners. I mean, I know Glenn Murray scored a penalty. He still looks good for Brighton. But rotation, it be forthcoming for Glenn Murray. Right. And Lacadio, when he recovers from his hamstring. And then Leonardo Ojoa coming in from Leicester.
Just stay away from Ojoa. Like, come on. Like, Ojoa is one of those players who, like, we know the book is out on him, right? Yeah, he's 4.8 million, but he's not a good player.
My only flag here is Ojoa at 4.8 million. Claxon, look out, Quaynor. We're coming for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure people will look at Ojoa, but I urge them to stay away. As for the game itself, jeez. I guess it kind of depends on who, if anyone's back for West Ham. And now they've just lost Ayew as well. I mean, not that he has been playing the last few matches anyway.
Not necessarily pulling up trees there for West Ham. Yeah. Though he would actually come on and hustle, unlike some other people in that squad. I like Brighton in this match. Yeah, I will be starting Shane Duffy.
Sure.
In this match, hoping for the best.
Yep. A 1-0 Brighton win would not surprise me. But a 0-0 or a 1-1, I think that's in range too. Leicester Swansea. Daniel says, thoughts on Mars' FPL value now that he's staying at Leicester. I always thought he was only playing well for the transfer window. It also looks like he has pissed off his teammates. Okay, the one thing I will say about pissed off your teammates, when you are a central attacking midfielder and you have the ball all the time, your teammates are always going to look at you like a little pissed off.
Sure.
Because your job is to get the ball to people, and, you know, if it's not to them, they're going to get pissed off.
Yeah.
Ron Mara seems like a fine teammate. I don't know. It did seem like last year he sulked a little bit during the season when he didn't, get a move, you know, after winning the championship.
I saw on Twitter there was a Leicester journalist who pointed out the fact that it's not like anything has changed for Mahrez. He put in a transfer request last season, and it's not necessarily that he puts in the transfer request, then withdraws said request, and then resubmits. It's known throughout the land that Mahrez would love another opportunity. And I think these guys are all professionals. They can play through it. It'll be fine. If Mahrez really wants to play football and score goals, don't worry about it.
Yeah. I hope that he does. I hope that he doesn't flag.
It's almost a blessing for managers who own Mahrez, because if Mahrez moves into Man City, you kind of have to dump him because you don't know if and when he's going to play. And
although Bernardo Silva, man, not a fan, Brandon.
Really? No.
I don't think he links up well with this team. I don't know. He feels like a square peg in a round hole with that team. It doesn't feel like he's young. So, you know, I mean, you have to give him time. But right now, I just don't. I he is not an adequate fill-in for Sané. As for transfers, there's actually some interesting. Well, the Swansea transfers are interesting. Andre Ayew. I wish he was cheaper because he's 6.8 million. It's a lot to spend on a Swansea midfielder.
Yeah,
but he is he was very good for them a couple years ago, and he's playing with his brother. He's playing with his bro.
Though you're actually blowing my mind here, Josh, with this note about Andy King. I totally missed this.
I think it happened late. But yeah, he joined right at the end of the window. But how exciting is that? I'm kind of into the Andy King move, right? Like, Andy King is good. He's a good player.
I guess, but how does he not retire at Leicester? That is very strange to me, isn't he? He's like,
I think it's a loan move. It's only a loan.
Okay. Yeah.
Half season loan.
He really has to retire at Leicester. He came up with them through like every division. I'm into
it. He just wants to play, you know. I mean, he's, you know.
Yeah, and Renato Sanchez clearly did not work out at Swansea. There's plenty of room in that midfield for somebody that has a little bit of leadership skill and experience. Yeah. So if it turns out he's nailed on, then, you know, sorry, Milivojevic. I'm going to save 0.4 here.
Brandon, stop the presses. He is actually 4.2 million. He has dropped another 0.1.
Whoa.
Give it 1 week. See if he starts. But if Andy King is, like, slotted right into that team as a starter, and I wonder if there were some assurances made in order to make this loan deal go through, a 4.2 million you know, guy with a little bit of talent, who is, you know, who's starting for Swansea. I think that is a very cheap, an Alexis Sanchez affordor type player.
Sure. That is a hard buy Felicia to Milivojevic there for me at 4.2.
Yeah. And I just noted Adrian Silva, who the deal was actually agreed in the fall because of bad paperwork on Leicester's part.
This is for Leicester City.
For Leicester, yeah. For bad paperwork on Leicester's part, they he didn't actually join until January. He's kind of been eased into the squad, but he is a very talented player. He scored 32 goals in 168 matches for Sporting, and his price is...
Yeah, I feel like they've been really good about updating all the prices on the site as soon as the window closed. Like, they had all of them at the ready. We're of course, going to get to Aubameyang here in a moment.
Right, and Silva, excuse me, is... $6 million. So he's affordable. I mean, I don't really know. I wouldn't recommend bringing him in or anything like that, but he's at least a player to keep an eye out for.
Yeah.
Kind of a Danny Drinkwater replacement.
This will be a fun game. I think Swansea is really coming into their own. Mm-hmm. Leicester, a great team playing in a great home pitch at King Power. Mm-hmm. They should be pretty evenly matched.
I think Leicester will win, but I would not be surprised if Swansea scored, and I wouldn't even be surprised if Swansea drew in this match.
Yeah. All right. Next up, it's Manchester United v everyone's favorite whipping boys. Huddersfield will be in the relegation drop zone after game week 26. It's been real, Huddersfield. But
yeah, it's been real. Bye bye. All right. Simon E says, our view on which players look like good FPL options with Sanchez and which look worse, you know, out of kind of the big candidates, Lukaku, Lingard, Marshall, etc. And then Dave from Burnley says, I'm just going to pair these many questions together. Sanchez home debut this weekend versus an awful Huddersfield. How do you afford him? Sell Kane, Hazard, Kuhn, a liver, your kids, wife on the game, your soul. What, how, who?
Yeah.
So that's your big transfer, Alexis Sanchez. What do you think?
I told you before the kickoffs today on Wednesday that Sanchez was by far and away the player I most feared in this round of matches. And I do think that Sanchez is going to be one of the most talked about players when we start looking at the double game weeks coming up at the end of the season. But yeah, judging by their performance against Spurs, if you go back to Simon E's question about who looks good around Sanchez, there are a lot of personalities there that have some ways to go before they gel. And Pogba, by all accounts, had a really awful game. Lukaku didn't look too well, apart from his obliged sort of snap shot that stings a keeper's hands. Sanchez, I think, will need to get him in, but again, it sounds like a broken record. It's kind of too early to tell. And then I'm a Lingard owner, like a lot of people out there. Yeah. I'm kind of terrified by the fact that he was subbed very close to the 60th minute.
Yeah.
That says to me, Mourinho is, and you know, he's losing his patience. He's obviously, he's got to be doing a lot of calculations in his mind of how do I move these players around? Juan Mata doesn't get the start. Is Mata a guy where he's kind of going to have to try out to see if he works within this mix?
So maybe can we just say it's too early to tell with all these players? I mean, I really, including Sanchez, maybe. I mean, it does seem like maybe that FA Cup match got us all a little too excited, and maybe it's going to take a little while for
two assists in that FA Cup match. I agree. Sanchez will have to have a real discussion about him at some point, but right. Given the price, we're not ready.
Yeah, I had two different versions of my wild card. One that had Jamie Vardy and Alexis Sanchez. One that had Sergio Aguero and Mkhitaryan. Now, obviously, Mkhitaryan was a bit of a—I mean, I knew it was a bit of a punt. And obviously, if I'd known that Theo Walcott was going to go off for a brace, you know, I might have considered him. But I didn't. I'm not going to pretend
how,
that I did.
How did you not know that?
Yeah, exactly. How did I know that? So, you know, whatever. And so it worked out fine this game week. We'll see how it works out.
Where would you rather be right now? So Sanchez had an arguable performance. Manchester United had a terrible performance. Would you rather be sitting with him versus Mkhitaryan?
I don't regret it, although it is annoying to me that I may have to – I was hoping to have two transfers going to next game week. I may have, feel like I may have to burn one now to turn Mkhitaryan into somebody else. And that's annoying. That was not anything I wanted to have to do. So
really? Okay, so let's talk about that more when we get to the Arsenal-Everton fixture coming up. So that I think that's interesting.
All right, so as the game itself, I don't think we have to spend any time in this, right? I mean, I think Man United win. I guess there's a question about how much they win by, right? I mean, I think when we all saw that front five for Man United, we're like, they're going to score like four goals on Spurs today. You know, they were shut out. So, I mean, do you think they destroy Huddersfield? Do you think they score, you know, four goals? Do you think they score two? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, they're going to destroy Huddersfield. I think they're going to, okay, so if I'm going to give you the, if I'm going to paint a picture, I think they're going to destroy Huddersfield in a way that doesn't answer any of our FPL questions, because Huddersfield, they're just, I don't dislike them as a team. They're kind of fun to root for obvious reasons. Interesting player, fun manager, but they're not equipped for the Premier League. So any performance at this point in the season that a big team like United puts up against them, I just don't feel that's going to answer any questions for us, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. All right, so let's do one more and then let's take a break, because I need to get a little glass of water here, Brandon. This is a lot of talking. West Brom, Southampton. Thankfully, this is one we can go through pretty quickly, I think. So a question from Drew's Top, who says, is Sturridge at West Brom being overlooked as an option? Great record when fit. Could he be a Charlie Austin? Now, Brandon, when I you know, first heard that Sturridge was joining West Brom, I was kind of like, he's just too expensive, right? 7.9, you can't have a player in West Brom who costs 7.9 million. But he looked so good when he came on the pitch and really should have scored, actually. It was a tight angle, but he should have scored. I wonder if he actually is a good option for West Brom. I mean, you know, you never know if he's going to stay healthy, but if he does, I mean, that guy is a pretty lethal striker.
I can't argue with Sturridge's record from years ago, but yeah. it's been a minute. And lest we forget, West Brom has a form striker right now, and it's Jay Rodriguez, and he costs 2.4 million less than a totally unproven injury prone basket case, Daniel Sturridge. I don't buy it. And as good as he may have looked for 12 minutes, Rodriguez is still nailed and playing the full match. And hashtag wait and see. Maybe that's just priming the pump and Sturridge is straight into the starting 11 next game week. But no, I'm not ready for this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not either. I mean, I'm not saying you can run out and buy him, but I do think, I mean, it's 0.8% ownership. I don't know if you wanted to... you want to be a little different.
It would be really cool. I mean, how many times can we talk about there are no strikers worth considering that? I mean, okay, Jay Rodriguez, having said what I just said, 5.5 is too expensive for the way all of our teams are set up. Like Jordan Ayew is about as expensive as anyone in the top, you know, 250K is willing to go with their third striker. So it's like almost even Rodriguez is too expensive. Why am I talking about this? If Sturridge turns around and says, I'm going to compete with Roberto Firmino, okay, but that just seems a bit far-fetched at the moment.
I like this little bit of news you added here that Hagazi loan deal bought outright. Congratulations, Hagazi.
They made it official. Hagazi is one of them now.
It's amazing. The guy that we debated, I felt like every podcast for three or four podcasts in a row, the game weeks 2, 3, 4, and 5, it was, is Hagazi going to start? Is he going to keep a spot? He has started every single game this season. I think he might be the only defender on West Brom to have started every single game this season.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but Hagazi is a pretty good player playing on him. I mean, he's a good good defender making the best of a bad situation.
Yeah, there was a version of my wild card that had Higazi in it. West Brom have some decent fixtures coming up. I didn't ultimately do it, but it would have, you know, I mean, he's cheap. He's like, I think he's only 4.6 million.
Okay, one big Southampton transfer we have to mention. It's the player most likely to be Meadow Soprano's boyfriend in season two of The Sopranos. It's Guido Carrillo coming from Monaco to Southampton, priced at 6.5 million. He's a big target man. Southampton are in need of a striker with Gabbiadini totally out of form.
Yes.
Shane Long being what he is. And that's that. So another one to watch.
Yeah, I just feel like Southampton is too good to keep this like run of bad form up for much longer. I mean, there's just too much talent in that team, you know? I mean, I know that they've lacked, there's like some attacking thrust that they're missing right now, but the defense is very solid. Midfield is perfectly all right. It's a Premier League level midfield, right? You know, and so if Carrillo can come in and stabilize things a little bit, then they should be fine. I have a hard time thinking they'd actually get relegated this year.
And predictions for this game in particular, Southampton, West Brom, sounds like a fun 0-0.
Yeah, I think it's a hard game to predict. I'll say 1-1.
Yeah, very, very evenly matched here. And off of that really hot button, I think we should take a break, Josh. And we'll come back. We'll talk about the late game and other games at the end of Game Week 26.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Josh, we're talking a lot about the closing of the transfer window this podcast. And speaking of transfers, starting 11, the Daily Fantasy Premier League app, which allows you to make live transfers during games. You set your starting 11 within your starting 11 app. If somebody goes off injured, say Slomani gets loaned to your team in the middle of a game, you can bring Slomani in.
That's true.
It's no problem. It's all true.
You know who you could sub in starting 11? You could sub in Daniel Sturridge. Daniel Sturridge, maybe not ownable in fantasy, very ownable in starting 11.
It is interesting. Yeah, all these players that were sort of, blowing off in our FPL conversation, these are all game changers in starting 11, where there is no budget. As we're saying, there are live substitutions while the games are going on. So you're playing head-to-head matches against your friends, against strangers all around the world or in the bar or the grounds in which you're watching the games.
And it's daily fantasy, so it's not, you know, so players on lesser teams become a lot more important because, you know, you can only play the players who are playing in that particular day, you know.
To use your Daniel Sturridge example, what if you really hate West Brom? You don't even have to play starting 11 on a day that West Brom is playing a match. You have to deal with it. Just play starting 11.
That's a hard and fast rule. There's still plenty of days.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a beautiful app. It's available for your Android and your iPhone. Just go to starting11.io, starting11.io, or go to those app stores to download the app today. And all you have to do is start an account, and you can challenge us, the cheaters. We are playing head-to-head against all of our listeners. All you have to do is send us a direct message or an email at hailcheaters@gmail.com. Josh, you took on a few of our listeners in Game Week 25.
I did, yeah. I challenged three. Only two of those three took me up on my offer. So
wow, chicken.
Got a bone to pick with one of them. But Gabriel Castellanos, I defeated. And Stephen Toomey, who seems to pop up on this podcast a lot, doesn't he?
He is an avid starting 11 player. He's quite good. Maybe people don't even want to challenge you or me, Josh. They just want to challenge Stephen Toomey.
Yeah, we'll broker that. If you want to do that, we'll... So challenge me, Brandon, or Stephen Toomey, and make that happen. But we actually, and I, God help us, Brandon, I unlocked our DMs, so anyone can DM us now. Not even like, you know, typically the way DMs work is you got to follow each other. Now it can be anyone, not even people we follow, can DM us with spam links and starting 11 challenges. So, So check it out. We're really committed though to playing, every time every match day that we can throughout the rest of the season. And Brandon has personally said, we were talking about this just before we recorded this, that he will take on any comers for Saturday's games. He'll take
any
them
of
all
you.
On.
Any of you. And I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you thought I wasn't looking at you. I'm also looking at you. I want challenges from all of you. Just download the app, starting 11.io, and we'll play starting 11 the next game flight.
All right, Brandon, we got one more game on Saturday. Arsenal-Everton. Hey, the Theo Walcott comeback match. I mean, Arsenal, they're so generous. They will sell their players to anybody. It doesn't matter if they're going to play them in a couple weeks. It doesn't matter if they are a rival for a Champions League spot. They are just
no problem.
The nicest guys in sports.
Let's just have fun.
AM Saturday says, I've got two questions here about Everton. AM Saturday says, what are your thoughts about Walcott? Is he a good midfielder to invest in to replace Lingard? And FPL Troll says, is Seamus going to make a difference?
Is Seamus going to make a difference? That's a tough one. I always think of, Seamus is a pretty good all-around wing back, but I always think of him as an attacking player. Maybe mm-hmm. he... So if the question is, will Seamus help the attack for Everton? Probably. Will he help the defensive record for Everton?
He just said make a difference. It's open-ended.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's just got a strong personality. He's a good citizen. He'll make a difference in the world. I have no doubt about it.
Well, he's a high-quality player. I mean, they may win more games and score more goals with Seamus Coleman in that squad. I mean, you know, John Joe Kenny is a talented young 13-year-old, you know, defender, but... I think, Seamus Coleman, he scored like 40 goals.
I think you're right there. What's been missing from this Everton squad is that they've been trying to buy experience. Guys like Sigurdsson or Rooney coming back to the club. They have missed players like, am I really going to mention Leon Osman here? But
right.
Seamus Coleman is a guy who has a relationship with the club, and he is that linchpin that they really need to, you know, groom the young guys like the Tom right. Davies and Adam Lookmans of the world, and also right. have some continuity there for the new big-time players that are coming in. So, yeah, I totally buy into that. Coleman
yeah.
should help.
So I think Coleman's actually only scored 22 goals in his career, but that's still a fair amount for a – for a right back. All right. So as for Arsenal, in terms of transfers, Arsenal had a pretty big window. I mean, they did bring in Aubameyang. They brought in Mkhitaryan. They signed Ozil to a long-term deal.
Perhaps the biggest news of the window. Not that deals really mean anything in the modern game, but that commitment is huge, I think, for them.
Yeah, if you were down in Arsenal, and it's very easy to be right now, and I certainly have been, it does make you feel like, at least they got some deals across, you know? my concern is the age of the players they brought in. I mean, it doesn't necessarily feel like they're building for the future, but I think a lot of people made the argument that if you don't have Ozil, Aubameyang, if you don't have players of that caliber in the squad, it's very hard to get a 20-year-old Thomas Lamar to convince them to join that team.
Yeah.
You know, like you've got to have players that people have heard of, you know, like
right.
that, you know, an 18-year-old guy has got to have to like, might have been Aubameyang in FIFA at one point, you know, like it's tough to have these like, you know, and then they're also talented, of course, too. I mean, they're just going to help Arsenal win in the short term as well. So
I like that as a litmus test. Have you played as this guy in FIFA before? Then you might want to join this club.
So Aubameyang is officially in at 10.5 then, Brennan. I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, he is officially in, and I think that makes pretty logical sense given that we're equating him with Lacazette. Lacazette was also at 10.5, though he's dropped down to 10.3. Curious to see how this one works out. No idea. Given how well it worked out for Mkhitaryan in his first match. Arsenal are not, despite all the positivity about the transfer window, Arsenal have been a team in free fall. In like top six free fall for seasons now.
Moving Aguero to Aubameyang in two or three fixtures once Jesus comes back is a move that I think makes a lot of sense. It would free up something like 1.3 or 1.4 million. Arsenal, okay, so here's Arsenal's run of fixtures. They play Everton and so game week's 27-28, they play Spurs and Man City. And then it's smooth sailing for a long time. And they, They do have some Europa League commitments, but Aubameyang is cup-tied, can't play in the Europa League. Yeah. I think that's true of
they're not really fulfilling those commitments as they were.
Yeah, and they don't have FA Cup commitments, so they are not going to miss any matches throughout the rest of the season.
However, we could say this. They don't have the likes of Debussy, Giroud, or Walcott to play in the Europa League anymore. So where does that leave them?
I don't know. I don't know if they can win. I mean, does Lacazette turn into a Europa League specialist or something?
I guess he does, yeah.
I think there's a way for Lacazette and Aubameyang to play together, but it does seem... I don't know. Aubameyang has played on the wing before. I don't think he will play on the wing, but I don't know. It's just going to be interesting to see how Wenger fits it all together, because you've got Aubameyang, Mkhitaryan, you have Ozil, am I missing somebody? Lacazette. But that feels like four players for three slots. So it'll be interesting to see how it all
works
out.
Yeah, so you were talking about your wild card. You're now kind of eager to get rid of Mkhitaryan right away. So how are you reconciling that with this idea of getting Aubameyang in a couple weeks? I guess my question is, where are you at with Mkhitaryan right now as a new owner?
Well, it's, there's a quote from Wenger where he talked about how he's going to ease him in. So I think there's at least a concern that he may not start this weekend. I would love it if it came out in a press conference the next couple of days that he was going to start this weekend. I would not swap him out. But because they play Spurs and Man City in game weeks 27 and 28, there's not a great reason to keep him anyway. And so I almost feel like it's an opportunity to just chalk it up as a bad play, my wild card, and invest in somebody else and move on. So
yeah.
I don't love Walcott for this match, though. I would not go Mkhitaryan. I would straight up not bring in Walcott for this kind of match. Walcott is a very sensitive lad, right? He's like a smart guy. Like, he's smart, uh-huh. He's an intelligent person. He's very famously like a nice guy, right? Like too nice, some might say. He is not going to play well at the Emirates. I really do not feel confident that he is going to have a huge match when he comes back. I think he's going to play like crap. That would be my guess. Yeah. What do you think?
There was a huge brace bump today. As we have been podcasting, Walcott went from 7.1 to 7.2. So people definitely responded to his performance today. But yeah, I agree with you. Well, do I agree with you? I don't know.
I like him after game week 26. I mean, after that, it's Palace, Watford, Burnley, Brighton, Stoke. So maybe just get in early. I don't know.
The AM Saturday bringing up this idea of moving Lingard to Walcott, and that sounds pretty good to me. I kind of wish I had the funds to do that, because I'm feeling very scared about Lingard's position in this United team, even though he hasn't missed a start yet recently. Yeah,
but you would do that before an away match to Huddersfield versus, or are they home to Huddersfield or away? I forget.
Oh, Lingard? Yeah, they're United. Yeah, they're at Old Trafford to Huddersfield.
And Old Trafford, yeah.
No, yeah, I'm just thinking long term, but that's quite a stretch. I mean, now with 7.2 for Walcott, that's a million to get to Walcott. That seems like quite a bit.
Yeah, it's
just such an awkward price. Like, that is who is your 7.1 midfielder? Is that your Raheem Sterling's slot, who is considerably more expensive than that, and you're getting many more returns? It's like I go from Sterling down to Lingard. I've got KDB and Salah, then Sterling, then Lingard. There's not a lot of room for Walcott in there, and I'm interested to see how teams work him in.
Yeah, well, we'll just have to see. I mean, I could work him in quite easily. I just don't want to do it before the Arsenal match.
Sanktosin was benched today. Yeah. That's not cool. I thought Sanktosin looked pretty good.
Just got to give him some time.
I guess so. And then Mangala was the other last minute loan deal. So Mangala coming from Man City to play central defense for Everton.
All right. So we talked about we have not talked about Arsenal. We talked about Czech a little bit. We didn't talk too much about Arsenal's loss. We haven't talked about Nacho Monreal being arguably the best striker in the league. I don't know if we need to. That's kind of a given. I think we all know that he's slightly better than Aguero at this point.
Yeah, Marcus Alonso, never heard of him.
And he's so attacking now, too. I actually think he could have had two goals in that game. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, yeah, do you think Arsenal wins? I mean, they're home to Everton.
It's interesting. Definitely coming off of these results. Arsenal are, as I said, in a tailspin, and Everton had a really nice result against Leicester. But this is impossible to call. You don't know which Arsenal team is going to show up. Therefore, why bet on them FPL-wise? This is like a stay-away fixture for me.
Okay, fair enough. I actually think that's a reasonable assessment. Sunday's matches, Palace-Newcastle. Palace have my new favorite player, Brandon.
Let's hear about it.
Two reasons for this. One is his name is Sorloth. We will never say his first name in the podcast. It is only Sorloth. Yeah. Sorloth the Great, Sorloth the Magnificent. Sorloth is a striker, a Norwegian footballer, also plays for the Norway national team.
I'm surprised he's Norwegian and he plays for the Norway national team.
I'm part Norwegian. I don't play for the Norway national team. Brandon, our third highest listener and audience is Norway. I want a Norwegian player for us to root for. We've had the Volkswagen. We've had Mbakani. We've had a lot of fun players. I am all in on the Sorloth bandwagon. I am considering renaming Always Cheating Sorloth, just the word Sorloth. Now, the question is, do you put the stripe through the Sorloth, or do you just... And is it all caps? I feel like Sorloth really should be in all caps.
I think it should be in all caps, and it has to be in like old English lettering, like it's like it's a tattoo on Tupac's like breast or something like that. That's
Wouldn't
how
it be
I feel
amazing
about
if we just went into the iTunes store and we just straight up changed the name of the podcast to Sorloth.
Sorry, if you were looking for Always Cheating, now just search Sorloth. That is spelled S O with a line through it. So what's the read on Sorloth? Is he going to start right away on Palace? We're talking about Christian Benteke's chair.
What's cool about Sorloth is he has never gone a game without scoring a goal. This has never happened.
Wow. Right. He's like the leader of North Korea. Like he's scored a hole in one every time he went golfing.
No, he's a talented player. They paid $9 million for him, which is I don't know, in today's compared to Van Dijk or something, it's not very much. But for Palace, I guess that's still a bit of an outlay. I don't know. We have a lot of Norwegian listeners, as I mentioned before. Let's have them chime in and let us know what to think about Sorloth.
Team Sorloth, yeah, let's do it.
Good or bad, I am all in on the Sorloth bandwagon.
Newcastle, on the other hand, have some possible playable assets that they brought in. No disrespect to Sorloth. Sorloth is my god now. I accept that. So Kennedy, who was brought in from Chelsea to Newcastle, he is classified as a midfielder and priced to sell, Josh, at 4.7. Yes. That's a Milivojevic price tag right there.
Yes. Yes.
So first game in for Newcastle, he wins a penalty, gets an assist for his FPL managers. The problem is, what's up with Newcastle? Now, you rode the Newcastle train for about a month. You had some highs and lows.
3 weeks. Yeah, I got two out of three. That felt like two clean sheets out of three.
Yeah. So Kennedy, I think, is interesting. An interesting differential if he's going to be heavily involved in the attack. Newcastle need to score some goals if they're going to keep themselves out of trouble right now.
Yeah.
And then perhaps even more compelling, given the madness that Joselu is actually still playing for playing professional football and allowed to take penalties. Newcastle's in dire need of a striker.
Terrible penalty today, too. Yeah.
So Slomani comes in. He's priced from his Leicester days at 6.6 million. Yeah. Sort of like what we were saying earlier about the pricing of strikers. It's kind of awkward still at 6.6.
I know. I wish he was just a little bit cheaper. At 5.5, I think I would be very excited about him. But yeah, so those are interesting players. I mean, Kennedy, I'm a little thrown off that he doesn't have two N's in his name, but I'll try not to hold that against him. As for the game itself, I'm excited because I have Milivojevic and I finally get to play him. And so I'm hoping that they I don't know if I added too many syllables there or not.
Milivojevic.
Yeah, Mila Jovovich. That's how I have to remember.
Absolutely,
how I say it.
Absolutely.
He is. I assume he's going to score a double hat trick in this game. That's probably the hope anyway. I think we're going to be watching these Sunday games with FPL Penguin too. So I'm excited about that. At least the Liverpool Spurs game after this.
Yeah. Hashtag FPL Zoo.
Yeah. So I think Palace win this game. I think Newcastle still got some work to do. A lot of work to do. I think Palace win 2-0.
Yeah, probably. I feel the Palace victory here, particularly with Lord Sorloth playing for them. Yes. I do predict that it's a nutty game. I think there are going to be quite a few goals here.
Yeah, maybe a late winner from Sorloth in the 99th minute. Maybe a player gets concussed and is on the pitch.
So you're saying it's going to be, if you're saying it's a late Sorloth winner, it's probably scoreline 7-8 because Sorloth usually only scores upwards of eight goals.
Right. Okay. So you'll have the 6 from Mila Vojovic. And then you'll have 7 from Joselu. Actually, Joselu's going to go for 7, which is amazing. And then Sorloth with a late brace.
Okay. I will have no trouble waking up early for this match. All right, what's next?
The last game on Sunday. Sorry, everybody, we're being so goofy today. Liverpool Spurs, Virgil van Dijk joined the squad. And he has made a huge difference so far in the Premier League, hasn't he? I mean, he's changed everything.
What a guy. What a huge presence in the locker room and on the pitch. On the bench, yeah. Even, you could say.
So he hasn't played. I guess he did. He did score that goal in the FA Cup. Sure. It didn't ultimately matter because they got knocked out anyway. eventually he will play for, I mean, Liverpool got themselves in legal trouble to bring him in. So I assume that they're going to eventually get him into their squad.
Hey, if I know anything about Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool, he'll sort it right out. But he'll get that defense sorted right away.
Yeah, exactly. So whatever. I mean, you know, neither of us are still buying on that Liverpool defense. So they did keep a clean sheet. Yesterday. Spurs, Lucas Moura, which is an intriguing signing. Lucas Moura, I mean, he's, you know, part of that kind of Real Madrid light PSG squad, you know, where they just bring in huge players and then sell them off after a year or two. And he's 25 years old. I know he's really highly rated. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on Lucas Moura?
Yeah, I'm a little troubled by the fact. I mean, I know PSG basically spent $1 billion over the summer to bring in Mbappe and that Brazilian guy, Neymar, right? So it's no surprise that Moura couldn't get into the squad, but he didn't play for PSG. I'm sure that's why he looked for a move. He's not cup-tied, so he can't play in the Champions League for Spurs. I do wonder how much of a depth signing this is versus a... Is Pochettino actually going to bring somebody in to replace the train wreck that is Moussa Sissoko? So
that would make sense, right? And maybe Son might be under threat a little bit as well. Although he's obviously played really well the last several months.
Yeah. The sticking point here is 8 million. This price tag is. It's actually interesting because that points to the FPL Towers thinking that Moura is going to be a real factor for Spurs. That's compelling. That's interesting. I will watch him. But there's no way I'm paying $8 million for a guy I've never seen play
in the
league.
Obviously not. But it's an exciting buy for Spurs. It seems like they got him for pretty good value too. Liverpool Spurs is the match. I have no idea what the score is going to be here, or even who's going to win.
It could not be better set up.
So, would you consider captaining Firmino, Salah, Kane in this match? I mean, where is your captain right now? What's your bus team captain?
My bus team is a bit of a joke right now because my bus team is not a joke. I have the armband on Kane. I have the vice captaincy on Christensen though. That's a weird one.
That seems bad.
That was
we'll get to him in just a second.
So yeah, we were talking before we started recording the podcast about how Kane is probably going to rank pretty high in the captaincy polls, and he'll be
Salah too, right? I mean, why not? It's Salah almost never fails to deliver. You know, I mean, very rarely.
Yeah,
I mean,
even when it comes down to his teammates, literally just handing him the ball with their hands to set down and shoot into the goal.
So I will say that typically there is a karmic punishment that comes with that, and he did not. He made the penalty, but I do wonder if something bad is coming his way, because stealing a penalty off another player, I feel like there's just like it's bad juju, you know.
Yeah, but he didn't okay, so he technically didn't steal it. Also, I would say about karmic punishment, Salah probably seems like one of the better human beings on planet Earth, from what I can tell.
He does seem like a good guy. I like Salah, too.
Yeah, I'm sure it was karmic, actually, for him to score the penalty. He deserved that.
Well, instant karma didn't get him, so maybe he's okay.
No, I think Harry Kane well above Salah in this discussion for me, because sure, Liverpool's defense is utter trash, as we were saying, and Spurs have had their defensive difficulties, but as they demonstrated against Manchester United, they can play as a cohesive unit front to back, unlike Liverpool. So you really have to like Kane here.
I think this is a difficult game week for there's no clear cut captain this game week, I would say. Maybe Alexis if you had him. So I think Kane is where I am currently planning to. I'm currently planning to captain Kane as well. I mean, vice captain, I don't know, maybe Aguero. It's not a tough one.
Christensen.
Not Christensen.
That has to be some sort of error. I have to look into that.
Same as the app, you know, the app can be weird sometimes.
Yeah.
All right. And so the game itself, I'm not even going to hazard a guess. I really have no I would believe any scoreline. I would believe a 4-3 scoreline like the City Liverpool match a couple weeks ago.
Oh, Sorloth-esque.
Sorloth. I imagine there could be a full Sorloth in this game. Seven goals is now a Sorloth.
Oh, I love it. Just like the Giroud was an FPL player getting 5 points at the end of the game.
Now if there's a match with seven goals.
Yeah, I cannot wait Sorloth to watch this game. It's going to be exceptional entertainment, I hope.
I totally agree. I bet there's like a goal within 4 minutes. Chelsea-Watford is the final game on Monday. We had more questions than we can answer about Rage transferring Christensen. It's amazing. It's amazing we've gone this long without talking about it. It is the most amazing troll job, right? I mean,
okay.
It's not just these three consecutive games.
Stop right there. I think, okay, Christensen is a joke, and let's not talk about him anymore, but I do not want to hear this. Christensen is the ultimate troll, because guess who else plays on Chelsea? Guess who else had a certain high degree of captaincy this week? Guess who else did nothing? Eden Hazard is still trolling around this league.
Eden Hazard.
It's a big smokescreen. This whole Christensen thing is a Freemason, Bilderberger level conspiracy to hide us from the fact that Hazard is still out there doing like global extinction level troll events. So I'm not buying into it.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't come here to talk about Hazard, but
Christensen's got to go. Priority number one. It's madness. It's absolute madness.
It is true madness. And then Nav says, is Alonso worth his price if he's now a rotation risk? Now, you know, I don't think that he's a rotation risk. I mean, Emerson Palmieri joins from Roma, 5.5 million, 23 years old.
Scored a goal last season, Josh. Scored a goal.
They needed depth at left wing back. It was insane. There was no depth there. There's really no one. I mean, there's, you know, on Moses' side, you've got Moses and Zappa Costa, right? And those guys are both excellent players. It does make him a slight rotation, right? But, you know, of the last, you know, 13 games of the season, I think he'll play, you know, 12 out of 13.
Yep. And the same token, just because there are now two players that could play left back on Chelsea, that doesn't mean that we have like PTSD from rotation early in the season. Just because there are two players that play left back doesn't mean it's going to be an every other weekend. This isn't like your parents got divorced and next weekend you actually have to go to Emerson Palmieri's house.
Right, yeah.
Alonso is the man. Yeah. He is the best defender in the game right now. Chill.
Yeah. Best attacking defender. Yeah, yeah, agreed. And yeah, I guess you're talking about FPL, not real. Who do you think is the best? This is like totally off topic, but fantasy aside, who is the single best defender in the Premier League?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I haven't spent much time thinking about.
Sure. The name that immediately comes to mind is Cesar Azpilicueta.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, what? How do you define that? If I say who's the best defender, and now I'm thinking about who makes the best tackles, I think about all these great like midfield mercenaries,
attacking fullback types. Yeah,
yeah. Like Idrissa Gueye and N'Golo Kanté and guys like that. Defenders have weird jobs in the league right now. That's a really good question. I will punt that to the listeners. Who is the best defensive defender?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And you can, we'll say defensive defender, even just straight up best defender, you know, on your own, whatever, you know, rubric that you use. So Emerson Palmieri, we talked about, Olivier Giroud, joined, they got a little bit of excitement today. I don't really know why people are excited about that because he's not going to start, really.
Maybe. As long as, you know. Well, Batshuayi goes to Dortmund, so he's gone. Right. Morata has problems, like big problems. I mean, he's had high highs, but he's had very low lows this season. I can definitely see Giroud starting a couple of games.
I mean, but, you know, you can't pay $8.2 million for a guy who's not going to. He's not guaranteed to start every game.
Okay. Yeah, I now realize there was no point to me raising my voice just then. Yeah, nobody's going to buy this guy. Also, speaking of no point to anything, Ross Barkley, 7.3. No, nope, not happening.
There was a really funny article in The Guardian. I can't remember who wrote it last week about it. It was just like one of the all-time worst debuts. when he got on the pitch at Watford, talk about a big fat nope. Deulofeu, $6 million. Why is he back in the Premier League? Like, who is excited about this guy? I don't get it at all.
He's just drives around looking for pickup games, basically.
Yeah, I guess so. That's weird. Yeah, I mean, I guess he joined for Barcelona, which may have some people excited, but this guy is like a proven mediocrity.
If you look at when we were so stoked about Deulofeu and his primo season at Everton, looking back on the stats, that amounted to 2 goals and 9 assists. Now, 9 assists, that's a decent enough number for a low grade, like a fourth midfielder. But 2 goals, and throw on top of that, he's playing on a Watford team that is in complete disarray right now, sadly. I mean, how did this happen? Watford were poised to just take it to the next level this season, and it is all just fallen apart like a house of cards.
It's that Everton job, and Silva got his head turned and wanted it, and
I guess
that's what it was. I think that's really what it was. I think it's that simple sometimes.
They made an excellent point on the Second Captain's podcast. One of my favorite pundits, Ken Early, was saying Watford have basically made a cottage industry of bringing in a really decent manager who delivers to them a decent season, and they immediately fire them and bring in somebody new. If you run a club like that, how are you going to expect the people you employ to have any sense of loyalty to you? Why is Marco Silva going to be like, oh, well, I'm here to stay? Obviously, that's what happens at Watford.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. I don't know. It's a proven approach for them. You know, they hire a new manager every year, and they're in their third year in the league. So, I don't know. I kind of agree, but it also, I don't know. They're like, everything that Watford does is like not the way I would do it. But it's like, it kind of seems to work for
them. We all work with somebody like this, right? Like somebody who has a very unconventional approach that doesn't register with you at all, but somehow they still continue to get promotions and deliver their projects on time.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people think I'm that person.
You're Watford. Suddenly you wake up and you realize, oh, wait, I'm Watford.
I'm Watford. So I am hosting Chelsea on Monday. Do you think that Watford have any chance of beating Chelsea at home?
I think Chelsea are going to. Oh, actually, they're not playing at Stamford Bridge. They're playing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, they're playing at whatever mustard-colored stadium it is that Watford play in. And but I still think Chelsea are going to blow them out of the water.
Yeah, I think they win too. I they'll probably concede some stupid goal, so I'll guess it's a 3-1 Chelsea win. All right, that's it, Brandon.
The transfer window is closed.
The transfer window is closed. I think we covered a lot of. There's obviously a lot more to talk about, and we'll know more as we start to see what these rotations look like. I mean, you know, stuff like, is Andy King going to start for Swansea? I mean, maybe that's not anything that a non-fantasy fan cares about, but it could actually be a crucial thing to know for future wild cards. I mean, I've got Milivojevic, right? I could save $500,000 by moving
this.
It's a huge move. So captains, we've talked about that a little bit. I think we're in agreement there for now, at least. I'm on Kane.
Yeah.
Transfers, I'm really up in the air about mine. I have to decide. I'm hoping that Wenger tips his hand a little bit about Mkhitaryan and whether he starts.
Yeah, likewise, I'm kind of looking for a hand tip from Pep, which will never come. Laporte, Christensen to Laporte, based on the clean sheet today, seems great. I feel like Christensen is my new priority. I thought it was going to be getting rid of Loftus-Cheek for somebody like an Andy King, a Kennedy, a Milivojevic, some playable fifth midfielder. But yeah, there I am. Christensen's got to go. That's the move. And Kane, captain.
All right. Well, that's your podcast. You can support the podcast on Patreon, patreon.com/alwayscheating. We continue to get new patrons, and we continue to hang out with them all day, every day on Slack, and obviously on Twitter and Facebook as well, and even on Gmail.
Josh, you had a really good idea, speaking of tipping the hand, for a special Patreon podcast. It's been a while since we've done one. But if you're a Patreon member, you get to submit a mailbag question, and we're going to do a special mailbag
podcast. It's an ask us anything type. Yeah, everyone gets one question. You can ask us any question on any topic, and we will answer it on the podcast. You can also subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on SoundCloud, Twitter, and Facebook. What else, Brandon?
Josh, we have a website. If you totally spaced out during the last 30 seconds, just go to alwayscheating.com, and all this cool stuff is right there waiting for you. That's where we exist online. You can see pictures of me and Josh paneling around at the Black Horse Tavern in Brooklyn. You can also find links to our teams there. Not that anyone wants to look at our teams, but it's a cool site. Check it out.
You got it. All right, Brandon, it was nice talking to you. I will see you this weekend.
Hail, Lord Sorloth. You're our new god now.
Sorloth.